Now tonight, we'll look at the second phase of the harmony of Bible and science, which deals with the subject of ancient man. What was ancient man like? Was he primitive? Or was he technologically advanced? You see, today the secular world is in a confused state regarding the subject of ancient man. I read to you a quotation taken from the Reader's Digest, May 1975, page 35. This is what it says. New findings from all over the world in recent times have made a shambles of the traditional theory of prehistory. New findings from all over the world have made a shambles of prehistory. Now, why? Well, you may have read some of the books that are on the market today. The market is flooded with all kinds of books and documentation, publications of the amazing accomplishments of the ancients and the tremendous things that they did and the knowledge that they had. Here is a book put out by Reader's Digest. It's called The World's Last Mysteries. And in this book, you will find many, many different articles on the cities that the ancients built, stone structures, artwork, and jewelry, which we have trouble trying to explain today. Now, why are these mysteries? They're mysteries because they do not fit with the theory of evolution. But they fit with the Bible. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Some of these things that the ancients accomplished in the past. We'll look at the two models for ancient man. Before we do this, last evening we mentioned that the human brain is the most fantastic computer that's ever been made. And we all have a computer, our brain, sitting on the top of our shoulders. Those of you who are familiar with computers know that it's essential that if a computer is going to function properly, then it has to be coded with accurate information. Otherwise, when you expect to get an answer out of it, if it doesn't have proper information put into it or truths put into it, your answer will be garbage. Now tonight, we want you to code your computers with the two models. And then when we look at the observable evidence, we'll see what your computer gives you for an answer. What is the evolution model? What is the overview of that model? Well, we are told from evolutionary textbooks, which are taught as fact in universities and colleges and high schools, that in the beginning, man originated from a primitive, beast-like creature several million years ago. And since that time, through chance mutations and selections, we have developed today into the most intelligent creature that has ever lived on this planet. You can see on the screen what the evolutionary model is depicted on that diagram there. The blue line indicates that over millions of years ago, man began as a primitive beast and has gradually advanced to this day. What about the creation model? The creation model, which is given to us from the Bible, which claims to be inspired by God, tells us that in the beginning of time, which was not millions of years ago, only a few thousand years ago, man was created in the image of God with godlike attributes and characteristics. And at that time, shortly after creation, something happened. The fall of man occurred, and since that time, he has degenerated over the years to a point of time where we exist today. Now, I want you to look at those two, the graphs there. Do you see that one is the opposite of the other? They're completely different. Evolution is completely the opposite of the creation model, just as what we explained last night when we were talking about the origins of life. The Bible tells us that if we depend on what man says, we should expect this to be so. There is a scripture in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, which clearly tell us this. And I'd like to read it to you this evening. For God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So man's interpretation of his origin and history, his thoughts, the Bible says, if you depend on what man says, it's very, very likely that it's going to be completely opposite to what God says in His Word, in the Holy Scriptures. Let's look at the creation model of man. How did God create man? Well, we're given a very clear, concise description of how God did this in the first chapters of Genesis. We are told that Adam was created like a godlike being, and that he was created in fellowship and in communion with God. Adam's relationship with God, with the earth, and with the universe around him was in complete harmony. In Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God took the very dust of the earth, the ground, and he molded it into a man, into Adam. And then he breathed his spirit into Adam. In Luke chapter 3, verse 38, we're told that Adam was the son of God. And in Psalms chapter 8, verses 4 to 8, we're told this: "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field." God made Adam just a little lower than the angels, and he gave him dominion over the entire earth, the whole creation, plant life and animal life alike. Adam had godlike attributes. What are these attributes? Let's look at some of them. He had a spiritual awareness and a spiritual sensitivity. He had a moral awareness and sensitivity. He knew what was right. God coded that into him. He knew what was wrong. Adam was loving, compassionate, appreciative, noble, humble, creative, and gracious. You'll notice that every one of these words that I've used is a positive word, because that's what Adam was. He was created in the likeness of God, with attributes like God. What about his abilities and his capacities? What could Adam do? He was created with complete knowledge. It was coded into him at the time of creation. Some of us have difficulty understanding that. When we think of Adam, we wonder, well, I wonder how long it took him to wake up after creation. I wonder if it took him 5 days, or did it take 5 weeks, or how many years before he finally woke up and said, "I'm here." God created him. He was complete and mature at the moment of creation. None of us have a problem if we believe the Bible in understanding that angels were created complete and mature and functioning at the moment of creation. Or if we've studied cell biology, we can understand that when a cell divides, there is information which is coded into that cell, and at the moment of division, the two daughter cells function complete and right away, instantaneously. Or if we look at the birds and the migrational habits that birds have, we know that God has coded into birds an intelligence. Nobody has to teach them or instruct them. It's something which is coded into them instantly. Adam had knowledge coded into him at the moment of creation. He had complete wisdom. Wisdom to evaluate and to make decisions about all things. We're told that God gave him dominion over the earthly creation. The whole creation was linked to Adam, just like a white ant. The queen ant of the hive controls the whole hive. And when he knows, when every ant in that hive does something, he is aware of it. Adam had that capacity and ability, that everything that on the earth was linked to him. Adam's brain capacity, tremendous abilities and capacities. Today, we only use 10 to 20% of our brain. Adam used 100%. Now you ask an evolutionist, why do we only use that small percentage of our brain today? How is that evolution? When there's 100% there, why don't we use 100%? Because evolution hasn't taken place. Degeneration has taken place. Adam used his full brain. He could reason and evaluate. He had memory recall. He could recall everything that had ever happened or would ever happen. Today we see remnants of that in certain people who have photographic memories. Adam had that complete ability. He had mathematical abilities. Today we see remnants of that in some people. We call them geniuses. Or another term, it sometimes shows up in people that have had brain damage or retarded people, who if you ask them to multiply two large numbers together, instantaneously they can give you the answer. Adam had that kind of a capacity, a mathematical abilities. And he could understand and appreciate everything in nature. You'll remember that God brought the animals to him, and he asked Adam to name the animals. And he didn't name them simple names like Puff or Spot. He gave them meaningful names because he understood what they were. And most important of all, God created into Adam a will, the right to choose. He didn't make a robot. He could have done that, but he didn't. He created into him a will. And Adam knew the rules and the regulations that God instructed him to live by, and it was his choice to live by them if he so desired. And God promised that if he lived by these rules and regulations in harmony with God, that he would have eternal life on this planet. Then we're told in Scripture that God created for Adam a mate, a wife. Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Now for years, not too many years ago, people laughed when this was told to them, or when they read it out of Scripture, that God had made a woman out of a rib. Do you know today that they're not laughing? Through the advent of genetic engineering, through things like cloning and gene splicing, do you know that man today has the capability of reproducing life from cells? Meddling with life? On Thursday evening, we'll be dealing with this area of genetic engineering and what God says about it. God used something from Adam's rib, whether it was a cell or whatever it was, but he constructed a helpmate, a wife from Adam. The creation then was perfect. God says it was perfect. Everything was perfect. Adam and Eve were the apple of God's eye. They were the very top of the creation. They were in harmony with God. Let's look at some slides which diagrammatically represent this type of harmony that existed between God and Adam. This large red circle here depicts God, universal, no beginning, no end, in harmony with Adam and Eve at the center of his creation. This is the way God created it. He gave them a free will. If they chose to obey God, they would remain in this harmonious relationship eternally. Then something happened. The Bible tells us that there is another spiritual power which exists in this universe, a negative power. The Bible calls him Satan, who appeared in the embodiment of a serpent and tempted Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree which God had told Adam and Eve not to eat from. And when they disobeyed God, the creation fell. Satan then became God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 said that Satan is God of this world. And we indicate this by this black circle, which now comes between God and man. And now the creation, Adam and Eve included, are under the control of this satanic power. The harmony between God and man has been shattered. And the godlike attributes that Adam and Eve had were destroyed. The second law of thermodynamics was initiated. Remember, we talked about this last night. From that point on, all things went from order to disorder. The curse was initiated. And God said to Adam and Eve, I made you from the dust, and to the dust you'll return. From dust to dust. He initiated physical death on this earth. Now, what happened after this? It seems that eternal life for man, God's creation, would never again take place. God had an alternative plan. God sent his Son to come to this earth. He left the heavenly realm, and he came to the earth as a man, and he lived the perfect life. And then he sacrificed his life. He died on the cross, was resurrected, and said that for all those who would believe that he did that, they would have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's what this life is all about. And that's what Jesus Christ did. That's the story of Christmas. That's the story of Easter. Through Jesus Christ, the Bible says, through accepting and believing what he did, we now have access to God. The red line now appears. But you will notice that the black still exists. Even though when a person accepts Christ and the Spirit of God comes into them, they now have eternal life with God, we still live in a fallen world. Satan can still influence us, if we allow him to. The Bible tells us that there's coming a time in the future when all of this black is going to be taken away. It's going to be removed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and Satan and his followers will be no more. This is the hope of the Christian. This is what the Bible tells us. Now, as you can see, what we're talking about, scientific things and the Bible, we're not here just to share facts that fit the Bible. We want to encourage people to accept this beautiful message that God has in his Word. Thank you. We want to look at the biblical account of what ancient man was like, what fallen man was like, according to the Bible. And I'm going to ask now if Dr. McLean would come And he will present to you information which deals with ancient fallen man.
The longer I live, and the more I understand from the Word of God, the more I am thrilled with the revelation that God has given us in this book, His Word. Friends, it unlocks the past so you can see it clearly as it is. And what an exciting experience it is. And what a fascinating experience. How many times have you secretly said, I would love to really know what was it like in the past? I can tell you. I can share it with you out of this book. It tells you in detail. And you will be able to understand history. You will be able to understand archaeology. You will be able to understand geology. When the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, unlocks your heart and life that has been liberated from the power of darkness, as Roger showed us a few moments ago, and you can break through that strangling hold of Satan's blindness. And you say, I see it. The entrance of God's Word gives light. It makes wise the simple. And that's comforting to most of us, isn't it? Well, that's what we're going to do. In spite of the fall, what does the Bible tell us about ancient man? Ancient man, who through Adam had fallen and was degenerating from his high position, capacities, and abilities. What does the Bible say he still had, still could do? And how wonderful to have a history book that is the truth. You turn, if you have your Bible, our textbook. And tonight, we're going to look at this book, and then we're going to look at the book out there, God's world, nature, the evidence of geology, fossils, and see which model does the evidence agree with. But we want to get straight. What is God's model about ancient man? And remember, Job says, like my mouth can taste good food, my mind can taste truth when I hear it. You have that ability. And you don't have to wait an hour. Something within your computer says, that's the truth. You have that kind of ability. But don't you forget, you have been blinded by the sinister power of Satan with a lie. In Genesis chapter 4, we're told the first two children of Adam and Eve. Verse 2, Abel was a keeper of sheep, Cain was a tiller of the ground. Original man understood and practiced animal husbandry and agriculture. Friends, discoveries today make very clear. The ancients had tremendous knowledge of agriculture. On the screen is from Science Yearbook, World Encyclopedia Yearbook, Farming the Negev. They get an inch and a half of rain. We today are restoring that principle, those principles. With just a hoe and a shovel, they make little dams on the sloping terrain and make a foot and a half dam. They only get an inch and a half of rain, and as the water floods in and comes down on that desert soil and runs off like plastic, they build these little dams. That's what the ancients did. Trap the water. And they grow beautiful fruits. Simplified productivity. What do we do? We're the smartest people that ever lived. Let's hear about it. Well, we would make a desalting plant and take the water from the Mediterranean Sea. And then we would build tremendous pipelines and we would power it by petroleum energy. We are so smart, you know. And we would pump it to the Negev. And you ought to see what we would grow. All they'd have to do is take a few hostages, and the whole caboodle goes kapunk. Or blow up one part of it, and it's out of commission for 3 or 4 years. Wonderful intelligence, isn't it? Those boys could care less. You could take 100 hostages. They'll still be eating tomatoes, peaches, pears, plums, onions, leeks, garlics, watermelon. And letting the intelligent, technological world go by, sitting under the tree of their own vines and fig trees, copying the ancients. They weren't stupid. They never got locked. I should not say never. They got blinded by Satan. Original man would not permit himself to be locked in technology, enslavement. You, dear young people today, you can't even finance building a house. Never mind feeding yourself. Smartest people that ever lived. I better not say it. I'll say it wrong. We have, through technology, almost wiped ourselves off the map. And friends, when they turn off the petroleum, blow up the dam, and the electricity, you'll see how smart we are. Couldn't even open a can of beans. Because the can opener is electric. All right. We read down a little further in chapter 4, verse 17. Cain knew his wife. Hey, yeah. Preacher, where did Cain get his wife? I've always wanted somebody to answer that. Okay? That's one of the questions they throw at you in an open line radio, TV. You know, they're just waiting to nail you. Well, I tell them, I'll tell you, very simply. But are you an evolutionist? They usually say yes. All right, I want to ask you a question first. Where did your baboon Cain get his wife? If he thought I had a problem, he suddenly realized he's got a problem 10,000 times greater that he can't answer. Now you just think about it for a moment. How did that baboon get a counterpart female that matched his body? Where did he get it? Come on, evolutionist, tell us. Well, it was a male cell and a female. Where do you get a female cell? It's more complicated. The cells are more complicated than you are because you came from them. Now, where did they come from? They haven't got that one answered yet. All right. Where did Cain get his wife? He married one of his own, his sisters. Because God made the male and female, and Adam and Eve produced sons and daughters, it tells us in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4. Now, we're not told how old Cain was when he was married. If he married when he was 90, 100, think of how many people could have been on the earth. And it was not harmful when man first fell, degenerated. Now it is harmful and immoral for close relatives to unite because of the terrible mutations and problems, genetic problems that we face. All right? That wasn't the part we were going to read about. It says, he built a city. Not a bunch of mud huts. He built a city. Architect. Mathematics. First, Antichrist. Sociological structure. God never intended that man would live in asphalt jungles and closed in stone wall. We're the smartest people that ever lived. Then you answer me. How come you long for the day that you can get out in your blue jeans and go to the mountains and get down beside the lake with sweetie pie and have a little garden and drink nice clear water and smell nice fresh air? Now you explain to me how you want that, and you'll argue with me that our technology is the wisest thing that ever hit this planet. You don't even agree with yourself. Something within you tells you, this is cuckoo. And let me off of this wild maniac merry-go-round. All right. He built a city. Someone said, look here. If they built cities long ago, why don't we find them? We do. Oh. Where? Every continent of the world. Well, what do they do about them? Bless their heart. Spend millions of dollars photographing them, digging them out, then stick them into the hand of a Christian and call them mysteries. Thank you, Reader's Digest, for millions of dollars of research to confirm the Word of God. Every country is loaded like this continent. The oldest cities are the mysteries. They built cities. Then, we go to verse 20 of chapter 4. Jubal, he was the father of all such as dwell in tent and have cattle. You don't need any brains to raise cattle. Listen. No cattleman would turn his herd over to you, city fella, for a month. Even if you got cowboy boots, big broad buckles, the right kind of hat, that doesn't make a fella that understands how to raise cattle. That makes good pictures on the TV to send to the relatives and friends. And you like to tell them, you know, me and honey, I know it's pure poor grammar, but that's the way they say it. Me and honey, we got a ranch out here. You know, we really live. Well, they knew how to live. They knew the relaxation of raising cattle, the out-of-doors, close to nature. Original man. Then, we have in verse 21, Jubal, he was the father of all such as handled the harp and the organ. Harps, organs, wind percussion, stringed instruments. Come on now. Even you, dear Christian mothers, you have no idea how much evolution you swallowed. Let me illustrate. The teenagers, you know, they got the guitar, the banjo, the others. Did you know what you said, mother? Listen. If you don't stop that primitive jungle music, you will drive me up the wall. That what? Primitive. Well, you believe the further back you go, the more bongo primitive the music is. You swallowed evolution and you don't know it. That is not so. See, you think half ape baboon Adam or his ancestors were going through the bush and he hit a vine over a tree, a willow, and it went bong. Bong. I'm going to take that home to Sweetie Pie. And when he found one bong, then he went through the wood and he found bong, bong, bong. Hey, it's coming through. That isn't what the Bible tells you. He was made in God's image. And God knows what beautiful sound, relaxing, body relaxing, worshipful sounds are. And I'm treading on thin ice even if I'm in Los Angeles. When I talk about that. They knew what beautiful harmony was. And if we're the smartest people that ever lived in technology, and it isn't so, you might rethink the music angle too. You know, some of you people say, you know, these evolutionists, they won't even think of something else. Maybe some of you Christians won't stop and think of something else. You've got a block. Okay? You still love me? It's all right. We have many examples. Here's a picture from ancient China, National Geographic. Of musical instruments, and it's in May 1974, National Geographic, over there on the screen. Those are 2,100 years old. It's got not cheap nylon, silk strings. Those reeds were in a pouch to tune it. The article tells on the screen there that the emperor 4,500 years ago, I believe that's the dates he gives, 4,000 years ago, he sent one of his men to the jungle, to the forest. It was 4,600 years ago, to find a bamboo that sounded the C note when cut to 9-inch pipe and all other notes and shoulder pipes derived mathematically from that. They tuned it by mathematical precision, the mouth organ. Ancient man, even according to the finds of archaeology, made stringed instruments, mathematically tuned instruments. Then, Tubal-Cain, in verse 22, was an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Listen. He could make anything out of metal. metal alloys. Every artificer. Someone says, could he make an automobile? He knew better. We found out too late. And our whole civilization is locked into it. And if you live out of town 20 miles and the power went off and the energy and you don't have a car, you can't even walk to town. Smartest people that ever lived. Locked into a technological civilization of which we are captive. And we do not control our own destiny. That's held in the hands of a few Arabs in the old country of ancient Babylon, where God said the monetary system would be controlled in the last days. Pretty accurate, isn't it? Makes a lot of sense when you know the Bible and what the Bible says. He could make anything out of metal. Someone said, look, if they were making metal artifacts, how come we don't find them? We do. National Geographic, November 1977. Europe is older than we thought. And while I'm turning to it, for those of you that are interested in carbon 14, on page 616, carbon 14 has in fact fluctuated and radiocarbon dating has to be revised. And anything 1000 BC must be corrected. Now, that's not a creationist, that's the National Geographic. With corrected carbon 14 and with round figure dates, they show you this picture that's on the screen of tools that they were making the exact dates that are on the top of my Bible about Tubal Cain. Thank you, folks. They're going to all that research and confirming the Word of God. Now, gentlemen, look closely at that pick. The pick you have in your tool shed looks sick in comparison to that one. That's a copper and iron alloyed, tempered. We can't do that. Imagine what you would pay for a copper and iron tempered pick today. That was their crude tools. Yes, you could make anything out of metal before the flood. Then, in verse 23 and 24, Lamech. He said, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech. I've slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. Of Cain shall be avenged 70-fold. Truly Lamech 70 and fourfold. The King James Version says, so what? Listen, in the original, that's in a lyric. This guy spoke poetry extemporaneously. I try to make up poems, I can't. You know, it'd take me a long time to think Mary had a little lamb, its fleas were white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the fleas were sure to go. Now, I didn't make that up. I heard that because I can't make poetry. These fellows, their conversation with their wife, they could talk in poetry. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Some of us clumsy lovers, what we say, wouldn't it be wonderful if he could put it in? He could. He used a greater part of his brain. Listen, friend, isn't it fascinating to look at the ancients through the light of the Bible. No wonder atheistic men say to us in presentation, hey, tell us more about the Bible principle. This is fascinating. Right? Then we're told in Genesis 5, Adam, in verse 5, he lived 930 years. Now, Roger told us he was made a little lower than angels. The word in Hebrew is a little lower than Elohim, just a little lower than God. And I say it reverently, my God, what a creature! And he was coated with knowledge and operated immediately. And then he learned on top of it for nearly 1,000 years. What kind of a intellectual was he? And he lived with other people. Read the rest of the chapter. And it tells you the people that lived with him in contemporary. Even Methuselah, he made it 969 years. Listen, friends. Hopefully we learn something in 60 or 70 years. How'd you like to multiply that 15 times? I enjoy to hear serious, mature men talk that have got building blocks and priorities straight, even if they're not a Christian. But when they know God and have been molded by the Word of God, I love to hear them, like I see you, dear young people, hang on the words of your dear pastor, Brother Chuck Smith. Don't tell me generation gaps. They love to hear mature men talk about the Word of God and principles. And you sit there 2 hours spellbound. What would it be to talk to a man that lived almost 1,000 years old, that knew the principles of the universe, the laws of God, which are not joy killers. They are the principles of how this planet operates in harmony. No wonder Job said, inquire of the ancients. They'll teach you. Me? Yes, you. For we are but yesterday and know nothing. Poof. That picks our little balloon, doesn't it? We know nothing in comparison to them. Then, let's turn to chapter 6. And here we have the record of man prior to the flood. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And then we're told what happened between this high bread production. There were giants in the earth in those days. Verse 4. And also after the flood, there were giants too, from the same way. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children unto them, and the same became mighty giants, which were men of renown. Are those fascinating, ancient, unexplainable men that you hear about. Again, I want to say, friend, what a marvelous thing to have a book you can trust. What happened before the flood? What's a son of God? Listen, read your Old Testament. Never once is a human being called a son of God except Adam. Because he was a created being. And any reference to son has to do with the outcome of redemption through Jesus Christ. And without controversy, sons of God in the Old Testament are angelic beings. You can see that if you look at Job 1 and 6. Sons of God presented themselves in the presence of the Lord. Satan was with them. Job 2 and 1. Job 38 and 7. The sons of God clapped their hands, sang for joy when God put the capstone on creation. Some says, I don't believe. The Bible says they're sexless. I beg you differ. The Bible does not say spirit beings are sexless. It says the holy beings don't marry. It didn't say they were sexless. You said that. You read Jude chapter 6 and verse 7, and it tells you very clearly. And here again, how wonderful to have a book that tells you the truth. The angels which kept not their first estate, verse 6 of Jude 1, left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the day of judgment, the great judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, these angels are judged. Because even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, what were ancient cities doing? Giving themselves over to fornication. And fornication can be committed in many, many different ways. Going after strange flesh. Alien flesh. Flesh that was not their own. Spirit being flesh. Animal flesh. Reptile flesh. Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, what is God telling you in Genesis 19 when two angels came to Sodom and they mobbed the house and they said, bring them out, these men, that we might know them. No man. Sexually rape them. Friends, you know your end of the country like even an hour. It's loaded with these kind of people marching around the streets and demanding respect and rights, human rights. Listen, friend, human rights is not the liberty to do wrong. Human rights is the liberty to do what is right and good. And that's the margin. They said, bring them out that we might know them. Homosexuality between humans and angelic beings. And God said he destroyed both the angelic beings and Sodom and Gomorrah for doing the same thing. Now Genesis 6 says there was a union between satanic beings and human women, and it produced a hybrid giant. Friends, I have seen giant footprints side by side with dinosaur footprints in the Palexi River, Glen Rose, Texas. Plus footprints my size, plus child footprints. And our globe is loaded with the skeleton remains of giants. Fossilized. Some of them in igneous rock. That is hot rock. Again, what a marvelous thing to have a book that unlocks the past and gives you the facts as they really are. Now, when you're thinking about this, this is why God destroyed men, women, children, animals, birds, at the flood. Someone says, how could a loving God do that? Listen, friends, there is no redemption for satanic, hybrid, genetic, manipulated, biological creatures. Do you agree? God has no obligation. Canaanites the same way. Someone says, I don't understand. It says in Canaan, God sent the Israelites. He said, kill men, women, children, babies, cows, sheep. Listen, every one of those Canaanite kings were a high-bred satanic giant. The Bible tells you about them. And God left them for 400 years until their iniquity was fulfilled, and God said it is enough. When man begins to manipulate genetics and sexually unite demonic and human, God said it's enough. Friends, we're in the middle of it again. And we won't survive. As in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Goliath was a giant. His brothers were giants. Six fingers, six toes. We were to Mexico in March on a Bible and Science tour. Ancient Mayas. In Palenque, those demigod and human kings were larger than the average Maya, six fingers, six toes. And the archaeologists cannot tell you what happened to those beings all over Central America. They just disappeared. Oh, we'll talk about that. Here again, friends, let me tell you, I care not what is your educational background tonight. You got to agree with me. The Bible gives us the most fascinating, challenging information that's dead on with the evidence all over the world about ancient man, and analyzes why the judgment of God. On the Bacall's tomb in Palenque, there is the Madonna and child in her arm. His one leg, six toes, has the belly of a serpent. The left leg is a pure serpent. Don't you laugh. That's exactly what scientists are afraid of. Scientists are going to produce today in their genetic manipulation. And if you were the creator, what would you do about it? You would do what God did. And you would do again when man went that route and was warned in the Word of God, you go that route, you will be wiped out. And we're going that route and blaspheming God to His face. Tramping down the streets and demand that the rest of humanity endorse the immoral practices. Furthermore, it says in Genesis, verse 6, verse 12, all flesh had corrupted itself. Birds, animals, they'd mix the whole thing up. Remember, Matthew 24:37 says, as in the days of Noah. That's why it's important, friend, you get straight. What was it like in the days of Noah? You'll have no problem understanding what's happening around you tonight when you get from the Bible what happened in Noah's day. It'll be as clear as daylight. I want to ask you, seriously thinking people, why did Satan argue with the angel about Moses' body? What did he want that body for? Man lived 120 years. None of his natural abilities were abated. He was a yielded vessel, a tremendous embodiment through which God could work. Satan would like to know the genetic coding. He'd like to get some of those biological parts. He never got it. But he wanted it. Friends, what do you suppose is all this cattle mutilation today? Now, I know something about it because it happens up in Canada, too. And Larry, who's in the police force, he has conversed with these men. And they haven't a clue. And things have happened that you cannot explain. What are demonic personalities doing with these genetic parts?
They know very shortly they're going to be thrown out of heaven. And they need embodiment to operate on this frequency. And if you doubt what I'm saying, read Revelation 9, not now, because we're talking about two interesting things. Read the kind of creatures that come out of the pit. Woman's hair, lying teeth, scorpion tails. You say, you don't believe that, do you? I want you to know, scientists today believe that that kind of creatures they can produce in a laboratory. And whatever man can do, Satan can do better. And he isn't waiting for us to think about it. And he isn't starting now. He did it before the flood. God said he'll do it again in the last days. And here we are. Younger generation, you need to know these things. You are living in a crucial day. And the Bible gives us the truth and unlocks it. Mom, you say you're talking over my head. Here's May 1981 Parents Magazine, published here in the States. And you can hardly believe, if you turn to page 63, that Parent Magazine, what you'll read. Embryo technology. And I'm going to hold this up to the camera, and those of you that have the TV screen, you'll see it, but those of you that don't, do you see that? That is a human baby inside of a cow's womb. And that's what science can do today. And I hear some of you say, my God, yes. Will God sit back? No, he won't. That's in the May issue. Plus, it'll tell you other things that'll blow your lid of what they can do with the male cell and the mother egg. And how mothers will become paid incubators to raise the children for a husband and wife. And listen, they can put two female eggs, two lesbians together and produce a biological creature. That's in that magazine. Listen, this happened before the flood. And it contaminated animals, birds, reptiles. And when you see these ferocious dinosaurs with teeth that look like the devil, I want to tell you, God didn't create them that way. That's been genetic manipulation of satanic and the result of sin on our planet. Do you know they believe there is enough DNA coding in King Tut's body to biologically reproduce them? All of a sudden, now we know why they mummified bodies. Yes? Now we know why they froze little boys, the sons of Antichrist beings up in the mountains in Peru. Been there, perfectly preserved, for 500 years. We're thinking about freezing bodies too. For the same reason. They did it. Someone says, where do you get all this? The Bible unlocks it. Evolution doesn't unlock it. It blinds you. The Bible unlocks it, and you see what is happening.
Now do you understand why you're getting movies by the dozens and Star Wars TV programs about Rosemary's Baby and all the other impregnated by a demon? Listen, the Bible says that is not mythology. That is the truth. And I am persuaded in an audience this size, there are those of you who could stand up and you say, I just know it is true because I have had that kind of relationship. I've had people ask me, can I be saved? I have had sexual relation with a demon. Friends, Christ came to save sinners. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But I want to warn you, get out of it quick, because you are a slave. Mom and Dad, this is what your generation faces. Young people, this is what you face. And you need to know salvation and deliverance through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way out. And if you are not under His protection, you are exposed to this. And that's serious. And to be saved from what? What I'm talking about. As well as from your sin and from the judgment of God.